Welcome back to our podcast at KNMS Library, Section 4 of the Journal of a Lifetime.
As I'm getting older, I can start to feel some changes taking place within my body. I'm growing taller. My body feels more unusual each day. My voice makes funny noises when I talk, like a cracking sound, and changes pitch. My friends laugh and my voice cracks. But it happens to them too. It can be especially awkward in public settings. My grandfather must have forgotten to tell me about what happens when a boy gets older. For all the wisdom he has dispensed, he sure did forget some important items to discuss. Even girls look different to me now. They aren't as annoying. I don't feel like throwing rocks at them anymore. I sort of, kind of like them. There's this girl, Melissa, who lives 5 houses down from our place. She used to be one of those girls I threw stones at. She wore thick glasses, had pigtails, and wore those brightly colored shirts. She had buck teeth and big white tennis shoes that were always untied. Real goofy looking, to be honest. She always walked by our house looking for me. Most times I'd peek my head from the window curtain to see what she was up to. You know, real spy guy stuff. I'd tell my gramps not to answer the door if she knocked, but he would anyhow. I think he did it because it made him laugh. He would stick around by the front door pretending to tidy up the end table. But if I'm being honest, he just wanted to hear me weasel my way out of hanging out with her. Not cool, Grandpa. Several times I couldn't find the words or lies to get out of it. I would turn around to look at Gramps and he would just wink with a little smirk on his face as to say, gotcha. I know I'm not being mature, but come on, I'm still young and silly. I'm allowed to poke fun at the neighbor girl, right? She's such a stalker. I never want to be a close friend with her. I bet everybody has a neighborhood that has a girl like that. She's a little bit weird if you ask me. The more that I write in this journal, the more I realize how fast time flies. Also, I'm kind of warming up to this idea of keeping track of my thoughts. So far, Gramps had it right. He was really onto something a few years ago, and that's why they call him Sage. I think my youth basketball career is coming to an end soon. After my second concussion on the collision at home plate, the town doc advised me I should pursue another sport, one with less contact. Contact is baseball. Man, how much less contact can I find? Ping pong, shuffleboard, duck pin bowling? Give me a break, dude. Most of the guys on my team are still playing baseball, but a few have stopped and moved on to other things. I mean, I'm 14 years old, and I should start thinking a little bit about my future, what I'm going to do. I can't continue with the notion that I'm going to be a famous New York Mets player. I guess following in the footsteps of my heroes, Cleon Jones and Lee Mazzilli, will just be a dream, but that's what boys do. We dream. Grandpa told me to never stop dreaming, that dreams were piano keys and our passions were our fingers. He said that we just had to sit down and play to actually hear the music. Man, he was wise. Most of the time I had such a hard time understanding what he was trying to say, but then at some obscure moment in the future it would click and I'd understand his words of advice. The reality is that I actually have to think about wasting my time in some boring office setting or possibly worse in the future. Grandpa once said to me, Raymond, if you're getting older each day and the time is a clock with no hour hand, think about a career that has promise. Maybe you could be a doctor or a lawyer. Or maybe you could be a funeral director. The fact is, funeral directors never run out of customers. He winked at me right after he dispensed his career advice, as if he knew something that I didn't. He likes winking. That's his way of letting me know that he always has the answers. Musically, Grandpa and I are like day and night. Do you know what I really can't stand that he seems to sanction? Disco music. There's this dance show that's always on the TV. Everyone goes crazy for it, but I'd rather cut the grass with a pair of safety scissors. I'd rather watch paint dry. I'd rather listen to my grandpa snore. Any of those activities would be more fun than watching that disco dance show. I think my grandpa would be up there dancing if he could. You know why? Because they're all goofballs. My grandfather's a goofball, and so goofballs must learn from other goofballs. I think it's passed down from goofball to goofball, some sort of rite of passage or tradition. It's why I thank my lucky stars for not turning out to be one of them. They remind me of dance zombies. You can't kill them with a headshot. Pulling the plug on the music is really the only way they'll die. I haven't picked up my journal in quite some time, but I really nothing much going on. I told Grandpa that I would document my life, but it didn't mean I was going to document every day of my life. So anyhow, I got this job. I guess you can call it my first official job. Gramps knows a guy who knew a guy that works in aquatics by the James River. I thought maybe he owned a pet store and knew his way around neon tetras and striped zebrafish, or maybe something cool like piranhas. No, this guy was a crawfish fisherman. And quite frankly, I don't think you have lived a good life unless you caught and cleaned a crawfish for minimum wage. Sarcasm. I wake up around 6 in the morning, tired as I can be, to the cumbersome tune of my grandfather playing the trumpet. I'm not making this up. He knows how tired I am and how unwilling I am to roll my bones out of bed. So he grabs the old trumpet he used to play when he was in school band and blurts an out-of-tune note with his puffed cheeks. I guess we couldn't afford an actual alarm clock, so he harbors his inner Louis Armstrong and gets me up. Once I'm awake, I throw on my crawl gear, and I walk about my quarter mile to the old oak bridge down the James River, where my boss has the cruel crawl tools set up. When I arrive like clockwork, I meet with Big Rick Riggins. He's 50-some year old, 6'4", 300 pounds, self-titled crawfish foreman, who directs me on my day's task. Big Rick used to play football. He's certainly built like a football player. He said he played high school ball for the Cheyenne River Rats, and then he moved out of state to play football for junior college for Lewis Skyhawks, where he lettered as an all-star defensive tackle. He has massive hands that could easily crush my skull, shoulders that you could park a helicopter on, and a barrel chest like an old oak wine case. I don't fuss or back with talking because I'm trying to keep my pretty head perched on my shoulders. Grandpa liked him. They get along. Even though Big Rick and my gramps are acquaintances more so than friends, Grandpa likes his character. He's especially fond of the fact that Big Rick was trustworthy with his grandson and knew his way around the crawfish industry. Rick has been in the business for well over 34 years. This was according to the locals in town who knew him. And let me tell you, Big Rick loves his crawfishing. As nifty as he is with catching crawfish, he unfortunately has the brains of a riverbed pebble and moves slower than seaweed. Every morning, in boasting a smirk, Big Rick watches me put on the waiting rubbers and slicks on like clockwork. I dip my skinny bones into the water and pray for the heavens that I can catch a healthy basket of those slimy, hard-shelled critters. He would point his fingers at me and say, "Don't forget to put those dirt traps near the oak bridge. Ray, Ray, load them up right. You hear? Crawfish is small, but they ain't easy to round up. Every day I put the traps near the oak bridge. Ricky, every day. Yet, day in and day out, Mr. Riggins has to remind me, in the simpleton tone of his, about the cruddy oak bridge. This is no lie. One time I caught Big Rick talking to the crawfish, petting the crawfish and telling them about what a nice day it was and how he wished he didn't have to take them away from their homes. He didn't know I was hiding in the underbelly of the bridge, listening to the soft-spoken admissions of guilt. I had to bite the insides of my cheeks to keep from laughing. He spoke in some strange dialect, not native to Mitchell, South Dakota. We didn't talk like that around here, but I never asked him where he was from because I was too scared of his gigantic, school-crushing hands. All in all, Big Rick is a good soul and a kind man, but he sure is simple. Sooner or later, I have to get out of this place. Mitchell is not it for me.